KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Momenta, Monday, April 28th at the Clinton Street Theater. Momenta is a film and a movement to educate, raise awareness, and activate communities to stop all proposed coal exports in the Pacific Northwest. There will be a raffle after the film and a Q&A with people from the film. Again, that's Monday, April 28th at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is looking for a membership director. Duties include database management, conducting mailings, producing reports, assisting members managing pledge drives, and of course, working closely with other staff members here at the station. The ability to work with numerous people in a fast-paced environment is essential. This is a mix of part-time and full-time work, with 40 hours per week being required leading up to, during, and following each membership drive. A full benefit package is included. KBOO is an equal opportunity employer and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. Our organization does not discriminate on the basis of age, race, religion, color, sex, national origin, marital status, sexual orientation, class, creed, physical or mental disability. For a more detailed job description and printable job application, go to kboo.fm, search for hiring, H-I-R-I-N-G. And to apply, please send a resume via email to hiring, H-I-R-I-N-G, at kboo.org. The application deadline is 5 p.m. on Wednesday, April 30th, 2014. KBOO is...
Prison Pipeline is a radio program dedicated to educating the public about the Oregon criminal justice system. Topics include incarceration and reentry, addictions and mental health, elections and laws, victims' rights, and criminal justice reform. The program presents a unique understanding of the criminal justice system, addresses the root causes of crime, and challenges the status quo. It seeks to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safer, healthier, and more just society.
Prison Pipeline airs on Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7 p.m. on KBOO Portland. Check us out every week. If you miss an episode, you can stream it later. Just go to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. More info about upcoming shows and events related to the prison community can be found on our Facebook page, Prison Pipeline. Be sure to like us.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Greetings. Good evening and welcome to the Prison Pipeline. Tonight, I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. And this evening, we have a very special guest. With us this evening is Mr. Ajamu Umi from the All African People's Revolutionary Party. Good evening, Ajamu.
Good evening, Adam.
Wahote sing.
How are you today?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Ajamu, we understand that this year's 5th Annual Law and Disorder Conference is coming up May 9th through 11th, and mm-hmm. that you and some other comrades will be participating. Can you talk about what kind of presentations there'll be this year?
Yes, and I apologize in advance for my voice. I've been really sick for today, but you know we always have to keep moving forward. So we are excited to participate in the Law and Disorder Conference this year. Not only do I get a chance to present a workshop, but we also have one of our organizers from our Ghana West Africa chapter coming here to present to Portland, which is a special opportunity for people to engage in what's happening on the international arena. And for people that don't know or are not familiar with the Law and Disorder Conference, I strongly encourage you to come out and attend. I mean, this is an opportunity where people come together and talk about ways, alternative ways, which I think is critical, that we can confront empowering communities and empowering people to address the inequities that are, you know, just inherent in this capitalist system, and ways to organize or ways to confront against those inequities. So I think people should definitely come out. The speaker I mentioned is Sister Nehanda Imara, she's an environmental justice activist within the AAPRP, and she just came back from a conference on environmental racism that she participated in, presented at in Brazil, in Bahia, Brazil. So she's going to be talking about the impacts of environmental racism, primarily on African women worldwide, and how Pan-Africanism is a solution to those problems.
That's great. One question that maybe, you know, some listeners might have, you know, they hear the name of the organization, All African People's Revolutionary Party, and in this case, we're focusing on prison issues with Prison Pipeline. And can you just talk a little bit about what are those connections with the work that PRP does, and why that is so important with of and for the prison movement?
Right. Well, you know, for us, it's not a hard connection at all, because, you know, we see the way we see the issue politically is that African people in the U.S. are prisoners of war, basically. I mean, we're still prisoners of war. And I think some of the things we've seen recently, like, for example, the comments of this NBA owner, I think reflect the legacy of us being property in this society and being treated as prisoners of war. And, you know, we're shot down like dogs in the street still to this day. So, you know, that's how we see it. So, you know, the people who are in prison because they have stood up against the system politically, those are our soldiers. Those are the people who fight in the war of liberation for our onward emancipation. Those are the only people that I've ever recognized as soldiers mm-hmm. representing me. I can never recognize anybody in the U.S. military as representing me, because mm-hmm. they represent an entity that has worked to destroy my people for 500-plus years. So, you know, people like Sundiata Okoli, people like Matulu Shakur, those types of people, those are the real troops that we support. And those are the people who have been incarcerated wrongly. Mumia Abu-Jamal, so many others, been incarcerated wrongly for decades, Leonard Peltier. So, you know, when we hear those names, we've always seen that as a question of standing up for the people who have made the sacrifice, who put their bodies on the line to fight for injustice for us. And, you know, the late Kwame Ture, he was never tired of saying that as a people, we're so disorganized that we can't even, you know, we can't even pick up our wounded from the battlefield. And when he would say that, he was speaking of the political prisoners in particular, not only just supporting them, but being able to build an infrastructure to support their families so that, you know, they can know that we appreciate the sacrifices that they've made. So, you know, for us, it's all the same struggle. It's all the same fight.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like as far as the Portland chapter, presently, there's a lot going on, different events and so on and so forth. Can you talk about what kind of work is going on in Portland, and if there are any recent events that will be happening soon, including Law and Disorder?
Yeah, well, you know, we are actively recruiting and organizing here, and our objective is to, you know, take African people, all African people, primarily young people, who for the most part are not involved in the struggle for liberation, and train and create revolutionary organizers and activists that are working within the AAPRP, and hopefully can expand and do work in some of our other chapters around the world, like I've done and like Nehanda, who's coming, has done. So, you know, we're actively engaged in that process. It's grinding day-to-day work, but it's necessary work. And as you said, as a result of that, we have a ton of things that are happening all the time. I mean, we have a we do a Pan-African Film Night discussion every last week of the month, and tomorrow night it's taking place at Portland State Smith Memorial Student Center at room 329 at 6 p.m. This year is 50 years since the passage of the Civil Rights Bill, and we're going to show a film about that movement to get that bill passed into law in 1964. And we're going to have a discussion about, you know, here in 2014, what does that mean 50 years later? The objective of that was to end legalized discrimination. And obviously that hasn't happened. In many ways, it's worse now than it was in 1964. So, you know, we want to have a discussion about that. We are actively participating and supporting, you know, the May Day March and Rally here in Portland on Thursday. And we have Brother Dawa, who's going to be speaking for the party at that event. And then we have Nehanda coming up. And then, you know, the big event for us annually is African Liberation Day, which we host all over the world. The closest one we are hosting here in the U.S. is in Oakland, California on May 24th. So a bunch of us are going to be caravanning down there to participate in that international Pan-African event. So we have a lot of stuff going on that is all designed around, you know, intensifying the organization. We have to get serious about addressing these conditions and getting people involved in a process to do something about it.
That's great. And again, Pan-African Film Night is tomorrow night. So that is Tuesday, April 29th, and it's at PSU, at Portland State University, Smith Memorial Student Union Building. And what room is it in again?
329.
Okay. Okay, great. So we hope people can also make it out for that and get more involved. As far as you know, is there a Facebook page, website people should be checking out as well?
There is. We have a local site. It's aaprporgan.org. That's aaprporgan.org, and that gives you all the information about the local events that we're talking about here. And then there's a button you can click on there that leads you to the party's international website. Through our headquarters, which is based in the city of Bissau in Guinea-Bissau, West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So all the information you need is there.
Great. And Ajamu, it looks like this year you have an interesting title for your presentation at Law and Disorder, Breaking Down Political Barriers.
Right.
Can you talk about the presentation? I know, you know, I don't want to give the whole thing away, obviously, for the conference, but yeah, can you talk about how that work might even relate to some of the prison issues that we're talking about and the prison work that's happening in the community, or not happening, in, for that matter?
Well, you know, Adam, that's an excellent way of putting it, because, you know, for us, like, we believe strongly that the reason why this system has been able to railroad and incarcerate, you know, our people, our strugglers, and when I say our people, I'm talking about all the people who struggle against capitalist injustice, whether it be the African people like Mumia, whether it be our European comrades like David Gilbert, whether it be our native comrades like Leonard Peltier, all of them I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. The reason why they're able to be railroaded the way they are is because we're disorganized. And if anyone that knows anything about COINTELPRO knows that the way it worked effectively is they were able to isolate people, they were able to turn people against one another, and then they were able to move against the people they wanted to move against. So, you know, we see the way that needs to be addressed is we've got to get people organized. We've got to send the message of organization to every woman, every man, every child, everywhere. We got to get people talking about organization like people talking about the NBA playoffs and American Idol. So the way that transpires is that, you know, we've got to get we've got to learn how to work together. We think we know how to work together, but we don't. We don't know how to work together, and anybody that's in organizations knows I'm speaking gospel, because the minute we come to a contradiction where we can't get along with each other, you know, we leave, we bail, we back off, we can't handle any kind of adversity, and it keeps us from moving forward. So the point of my workshop at the Law and Disorder Conference this year is to talk about methods of how we can learn to work together. And my process for coming to that is because in the AAPRP, we have a process called criticism, self-criticism, that we utilize militantly and extensively And it's designed not to be a weapon for people to attack one another, but as a methodology of us honestly and consistently assessing where we are and how we can address our shortcomings and work together to move forward. And, you know, the new members that are here are starting to get a taste of it, and they're loving it because they're learning some conflict resolution skills that we just don't learn in this society, because this society, in order for it to maintain and continue to exist in the status quo basis that it does, it's dependent upon us being antagonistic towards each other, us not being able to resolve contradictions, not being able to resolve conflicts. So, you know, that's what the workshop is about, is getting us to think in terms of ways that we can do that and how we can effectively learn to work together so that we can build instead of just being organized again.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ajamu, on the same note, really, it sounds like there's this internal work that the organization is doing that's its own form of, if I can call it, restorative justice, conflict resolution, right? But then the work that also needs to be done is external, too. And so then from there, can you talk about how that's enabling people to do, I mean, more quality work, and also it sounds like it's also enabling people to get along in that process, at least in the organization. And so can you talk about what might be a little bit unique, different with what a PRP is doing, in the sense of, you know, kind of versus, or maybe not versus, but, you know, in contrast of like the kind of more mainstream kind of nonprofit type right. model or what have you?
Well, I think the main difference between us and, you know, these other organizations you're talking about is that we are not, you know, we are only beholden to one entity, and that's the masses of people. We don't get funding from anybody except what people hear mm-hmm. out in the street
right.
give us. So we don't have to bow down to any agenda other than that agenda of justice and liberation. So because of that, we don't have to focus on you know, how we can keep our fundraisers from being upset. We focus 100% on how we can build the strongest, most militant, most revolutionary entity that can really begin to interact and connect with people on the ground and fight back against the system, because that's what needs to happen. So, you know, again, this criticism, self-criticism process is a way for us to really drill down and say, okay, here's what we want to do. How are we going to get there? What needs to happen for us to get there? And that allows us to eliminate the type of idealism that's, you know, so often prevalent in when we have these discussions. I mean, you talk about this stuff, and people have all these things they think need mm-hmm. to happen that are, you know, oftentimes not even based in reality.
Right.
So it allows us to do that and say, okay, the bottom line is that whatever is going to happen, we're the ones that are going to have to do it. So if you're talking about, you know how you get people who come and they always mm-hmm. want to talk about what needs to happen,
yep.
and then when it gets to the time where it's like, well, who's going to do it, then there's crickets in mm-hmm. the room. You know, nobody has anything to say. Well, what our process does, it allows us to move past that, where we, you know, have that type of accountability where, you know, you can't just talk about what needs to happen, but you got to talk about it in the context of how you're going to make it happen. So it makes us more of an action-oriented group instead of just one who's just, you know, criticizing and complaining about the problem. And it builds us as self-conscious, as Kwame Nkrumah talked about, self-conscious revolutionaries who, when we see a problem, the first thing we're looking at is, what can I do to address that, instead of, oh, why aren't mm-hmm. these people doing this? So it puts us in a position where we're seriously ready to engage in the work to challenge this thing and make things happen. And I think, you know, in time, as we grow here, people are going to see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it seems like it's also an issue of, in some cases, not just making something new, but kind of building on what's come before us, kind of, you know, on the backs of those that came before us. And it seems like what I hear you saying is that there's a certain kind of base, too, that you're all working with. You know, that already informs people. It's not just new models of conflict resolution, but perhaps, and this is the question, are the old models, you know, these indigenous concepts from Africa, the Pallavas,
right.
the Ubuntu, and so on and so
right.
forth. Can you talk about how that might relate to some of the work that you're all doing in that sense?
Right, and you're absolutely right. I mean, we believe that, you know, every action is every action results from ideology. You know, people in capitalism, you know, people like to say, well, I don't have an ideology. You know, even to use the bathroom requires an idea process behind it. So anybody that says that is just naive about how the world works. You know, ideology directs every action. So, you know, in the APRP, we certainly put a strong focus on ideology and ideological development. And we point to what we call, you know, what a lot of white revolutionaries look at Marxist-Leninism from the ideas of Karl Marx and Vladimir Lenin, which we certainly applaud them and respect that. But for us, as Pan-Africanists, we have what we call the Nkrumah's Tereus analysis from the ideas primarily coming from people like Kwame Nkrumah, Sekou Touré, Amilcar Cabral, and, you know, African revolutionaries, right. Pan-Africanist revolutionaries. And that has developed for us the concept of the revolutionary African personality, which is all about creating this new African woman, this new African man that's based on the three components of African life: traditional Africa, Judeo-Christian experience, and Islamic experience, which for every African person has all three of those on some level that make up their person here today. So we look at those three, components, and we talk about how we can bring out the best in all three of those, understanding dialectically that, you know, historically there's positive in all of those and negatives in all of those. Right. So we want to bring out the best of it to make the best woman, the best man, who exemplifies the best aspects of African culture, the collective aspect of African culture, the egalitarian, the humanist aspect. And those are the principles from which our revolutionary ideals are based on. And those are the ideas that we want to spread and develop among the people we recruit.
Mm-hmm. Right. So in that process of building people up, you know, and making people, you know, I mean, productive members of society, you know, more moral people or what have you, then I guess part of the question is, how do we do that when we have so many of these people who are just, you know, just good people, but because of some circumstance are locked up in the numbers of millions of people, right? So how does that relate with that work, too?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is we have to get people aware that there's a problem, because I think that, you know, even those of us that are activists, if we just look at our own biological families, most of our biological families, if not all of them, if you talk to them about people who have been political prisoners or are political prisoners here, they would a lot of the people that we know and love would say, oh, those people are guilty, or at least have a thought that that's the case in their mind.
Right.
So, you know, that should tell us right there. I mean, we can use someone like Mumia Abu-Jamal, just talk to our family about and compare what we're telling them to what they've heard in the news media, and they're, you know, they're marching the wife of the murdered cop on the Today Show, and that's what our family are watching. They're not going to the events we go to. They're not reading the material we read. So that's as much a part of what shapes their analysis as the work we're doing, if not more so. So it seems like the first thing we have to do is address that. We've got to create a consciousness where people understand that there's a problem, that these people are in prison because they stood up against an unjust system, not because they robbed a bank or they shot a cop, or even just talking about the legitimacy of police in this society and how, you know, people, when they're in these shootouts with police, they have a right to stand up and express their right for humanity and self-determination in their communities. And even just having that conversation is a stretch if you look at people's lack of consciousness today. So that's the first place where we have to do the work. And so that's the core of our work, is political education, raising people's consciousness. Because I always tell people all the time, you know, if you were arrested today and charged with an act, many of the people in your own family would question your innocence.
Right.
You know,
right,
and that's because we don't have that level of consciousness out here today. You know, even some of your love, even the people you're in relationships with, will question your innocence, because they don't have they're not conscious. So, you know, that's the first and most important work that we need to do. Everything else, to me, falls behind in line after that.
Right, right. And in that case, too, you know, it's all about, you know, like building a movement. And for anybody that's just tuning in, we're with the Jamu Umi from the All African People's Revolutionary Party talking about the Law and Disorder Conference, which is going in its fifth run. And that's going to be May 9th through 11th at Portland State University, starting with a Friday night panel about movement building. And then a bunch of panels all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And there's even some catered food on Sunday in the afternoon, also coinciding with the Queer Students of Color Conference that's also taking place at PSU that weekend, which is also going to be excellent. And so in that case of movement building, and Jamu, I'm gonna quote you, because I love when you say this, which is, you know, join an organization for justice. And so can you make a maybe briefly comment on that before we close out?
Yeah, and I just want to tie it into the whole question of political prisoners. You know, I've had the privilege of getting to know political prisoners over the years, and one of the ones that I really got very close to is Marilyn Buck. And if people don't know who she is, she was a member of the Weather Underground. She was instrumental in writing the Port Humanity Statement when SDS split and became the Weather Underground. And she ended up becoming, the FBI labeled her the one white member of the Black Liberation Army. When I met Assata Shakur in Cuba, she told me to look up Marilyn Buck, and I knew who Marilyn Buck was, but when I got back, I did, and went to visit her a number of times, took my daughter, and she really became a close personal friend. And at the time that she passed away, I didn't know the extent of her illness. And at the time she passed away in 2010, I was owing her a letter, and I didn't get around to write it because I was engaged in all the work I was trying to do. And I've always felt, I still to this day feel so bad and guilty about that. But I tell myself that I know she knows what I was doing and the work that I'm doing and trying to build on what she did and how she sacrificed her life. And so that's why I think it's important that, you know, people know we have got to, the best way you honor people is to continue their work. You know, it does nothing for you to talk about them. It does nothing for you to wear a Malcolm X t-shirt. The best way Malcolm X was always in an organization. When he left the Nation of Islam, he formed two organizations, the Organization of African American Unity and Muslim Mosque Incorporated. So he was always an organization. So if you really, truly love Malcolm, and all these people we're talking about were in organizations, Leonard Peltier, American Indian Movement, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Black Panther Party, affiliated with MOVE, all these people were in organizations. So if you truly love them and respect them and you want to do something for them, you got to be engaged in the same processes they were to build something that will carry on after you're gone. And so the best method, the best suggestion and advice I can give people is get involved in some organization that's working for justice. And if you don't see one that you like, then start the I'm glad he's about to stop talking organization. Mm-hmm. But you've got to be involved in something that's engaged in justice and bringing about a solution to these problems. Because if you're not, you're as much a part of the problem as the richest, most oppressive billionaire on the planet.
Absolutely. And Ajamu Umi, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And we hope to have you back on real soon, and we can talk about
the
conference.
Thank you for your work. Come out to the Law and Disorder Conference, y'all. Yeah. Come on out.
Yeah, Law and Disorder Conference in its fifth run, Portland State University, May 9th through 11th. You can always Google for more information on the conference. This concludes Prison Pipeline. Thanks so much to our engineer, Danielle, and we'll see you next week, 6:30 to 7 p.m. Have a great night.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 15th annual Oregon Global Cannabis March on Saturday, May 3, 2014. Portland participants will gather in Pioneer Courthouse Square to march at noon through downtown Portland. Oregon Congressman Earl Blumenauer will be speaking immediately following the march. The rally will also feature other speakers and live music. Again, that's the 15th annual Global Cannabis March, Saturday, May 3rd at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Do you see it? It's all around us. It's an assault on our rights, our freedoms, our food, our jobs, our children's education, and ultimately an assault on the only life support system we have, Mother Earth.
Earth Day to May Day, a global convergence for climate justice, is taking place around the world and here in Cascadia from April 22nd to May 1st. The 10 days of action will include teach-ins, protests, call-in campaigns, and direct action. KBOO is a sponsor of local events and is committed to bringing you full coverage of the global climate convergence. Find out more at kboo.fm/earthdaymayday. That's kboo.fm/earthdaymayday.
Begin organizing in your community for people, planet, and peace over profit. Join us. Do you see it? It's all around us. It's an assault on our rights, our freedoms, our food, our jobs, our children's education, and ultimately an assault on the only life support system we have, Mother Earth.
Earth Day to May Day, a global